Well, good evening and welcome back, everyone.
It seems like it's been a while, hasn't it?
I would like to welcome the audience as well as the council members. I'd like to call this meeting, this Monroe City Council, for June 5th, 2012, to order. And then, if you would, roll call, please.
Councilmember Gehring?
Here.
Hudak?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Kim?
Present.
Davis?
Present.
Gamble?
Here.
Hanford?
Present.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Council, before we get to the public hearing this evening on the six-year transportation improvement program, we'd like to ask that we add one item to the agenda this evening. I'll call it item 1A after executive session, and it is a resolution on, we'll call it Galaxy property. We need a motion to add that to the agenda.
So moved.
Sir.
All right, motion has been made by Councilmember Gehring and seconded by Councilmember Kemp to add agenda item 1A after executive session related to Galaxy property. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, well, we do have a public hearing this evening on the six-year transportation improvement program for 2013 through 2018. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. The transportation improvement plan for 2013 to 2018 was introduced to the council a couple weeks ago. We had the 13 projects on there in the same order that they were on for the transportation benefit district resolution that you passed a couple weeks before that. As a result of your discussion that week, we added Project 14, which was the East-West Connector North, also known as Frontage Road 7, which connects 191st Chain Lake Road. And that's the only change that was made to that at that time. And now is the time to receive public comment on the proposed six-year transportation improvement program.
Okay, with that said, we will go ahead and open up the public testimony portion of the public hearing. And I think everybody who signed up on this also signed up on this, correct? Hopefully. All right. That's what I saw. And we'll go with that. So we do have a few individuals here that would like to speak on the six-year transportation improvement program. And the first is Mr. McDaniel. And if you would, Mr. McDaniel, the podium and your name and address for the record. And please limit your time to 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Jim McDaniel. My address is 11604 Trombley Road, Snohomish. And I do not live inside the city limits. I do own a business inside the city limits. And I'm also a voter in the school district. And I've never been to Toastmasters before. It's going to be pretty obvious real quick, so I'm not a very good public speaker. But like I said, I won't bore you. I'll make this as quick as I can. I did read the Transportation Improvement Program, and 13 of the 14 I really like. Tierney Place, I'm all for it. Get that puppy done. The one I'm not really in favor of, is as it is right now, is the proposed Hill Street extension, which the maps I've seen, it goes through the north side of the middle school football field to the baseball field and the north side of St. Mary's Catholic Church. And I am also a member of St. Mary's Catholic Church besides being a voter on the school district. We've had some talks all the way up to the archdiocesan level on this thing. And the word back from them is basically the road through the church property is pretty much dead in the water because we're not subject to the same eminent domain procedures as normal folks are, even the school district for that matter. So that's kind of, you know, there'll be some more on that. Another thing I'm really, really interested in is the school property. We've got, I don't know how many, 5 or 6 acres out there, school property. Yeah, I vote for the school district. My kids have gone through the Monroe School District system. I used to play football in the field, or I was at Salton then, you know, so we won't go there. But that's, you know, valuable property. It's still used as for the baseball field. It's still used. Varsity uses it. Football fields are used. I mean, it's used by, you know, you see people out there all the time. And putting a road through there would totally devastate the use of the football field portion of it. The baseball, there would, the baseball field would go away. Monroe would have to probably play their games in Snohomies up to Salton. We can't have that. We cannot have that. So as I am, you know, personally against, you know, this particular proposal, and I'd like to see it go away and reinvent itself in some other form. And that's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Mr. Schilling.
Yes. Steve Schilling, 322-21-124th Street Southeast. Salton, Washington, speaking for St. Mary's of Valley Catholic Church. First, being distributed right now is a letter from the Director of Property and Construction Services at the Archdiocese of Seattle. Be aware, everybody, that the property of the St. Mary's of Valley Church is owned by the Archbishop of Seattle. At this time, I'd like to read in to the record a germane portion of the, of this letter. The last paragraph, the first part of the letter addresses the GMA concerns and population growth concerns of the church. The GMA has proposed two substantive challenges to our ability to practice religion and the growth of the church in Western Washington. The first, in urban areas, the density of population will increase. We acknowledge this increase as a positive value for parish membership, but it will pose a challenge when the membership exceeds the capacity of the parish facilities, or the parish does not have enough land to expand and meet its needs. Let me interject here that it's the position of the Archdiocese when looking for new lands for churches. They're looking for 25 to 30 acres. And if the school property were to become surplus, we'd be looking to purchase that property. Secondly, if capacity of the parish facilities, the parish does not have enough land to expand and meet its needs, as I said. Secondly, if a new parish is to be established in the urban area, the amount and cost of available land will make this very difficult. In light of these two challenges, the Archdiocese does not entertain a request from the city of a parish in the urban area, such as Monroe, for substantial easements or dedication of land unless the city would consider an exchange of land. In that case, the proposal would be considered and evaluated against the parish master plan. Now, at our informational meeting with Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Sachs in March, Mr. Zimmerman stated that one of the reasons, in addition to the GMA, for the Hill Street extension was that if that extension were provided, it would allow for more housing on the school property. Well, according to the Archdiocese position, the only place we could exchange land for that right-of-way would be out of the school property, and it would negate that motivation on those grounds alone. I would really urge the council not to proceed. You know, if you want to take the school land, go ahead. You know, don't proceed with the, don't proceed across this, the church land. It's unviable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Affairs.
Thank you. Nancy Truett Pierce. I have two homes, one out on Woods Creek Road and the one downtown here is at 16179 176th Avenue Southeast. I'm registered to vote in my home outside the city limits. I'm here tonight, not necessarily as a school board member, although I am on the school board. I'm here as a citizen. I'm opposed to the Hill Street extension in your plan, as the other two people have been. I like many good ideas, as you said, in this plan. I think this is the one that doesn't work. and I would caution you against keeping this one in because I think it's a part of the plan that may torpedo the rest. There's many good things on here that I'd like to see you be able to go ahead and do. If you send Hill Street through school property, it means loss of our second track. We only have two. It's been suggested we could put another track over by Park Place, but we've looked at that. We don't see how that's viable either. There's loss of our varsity baseball field and loss of another utility baseball field. Loss of space for our kids from Sky Valley Education Center to play and do outdoor activities. We don't see a financial way to replace those assets. And if we did come up with the money, it would take us 2 years, which means we'd be between having fields for our varsity team to play on, for instance, during the interim. Can you imagine Bearcats playing in Sultan instead of Monroe? Really, people? Mr. Sack suggested if we sell the remaining open space to a developer to fund replacing our fields, the objective is to build the houses on it. And I think that's a very bad idea for a couple of different reasons. We need space downtown for kids and to build more schools. If you increase the town's capacity by 10,000 new people, we estimate between 1,500 and 2,000 kids will need to be educated. So where would we put schools? We're going to need a spot to put those. And we think it's a lot more compatible to have schools on a space like that than houses. And I believe the quality of this town is much better served with open space in the core. It is the last large tract that we can preserve for future generations. Imagine the courage it took in New York City to set aside 700 acres in the heart of Manhattan. And I'm pretty sure there were developers that wanted to put houses on that. Our parents and stakeholders do not like the plan. We had public testimony at our last board meeting. We had the largest turnout for public testimony we've had since I've been on the board, and it was 100% opposed. There was nobody that was speaking for it. The parents at Sky Valley, which is the education center in the old middle school that's right across the street from there, Sky Valley Education is the most engaged and most passionate and most organized set of parents in this school district. They're good at organizing. And they don't like your idea of taking out that area. As I was telling my husband, I think our tribe has taken possession of the field. So I understand there's developers that would love that, but let's not let developers decide the future of our town. I believe there's another way that you can sell the east-west. I understand that you want to do an east-west corridor, and I think that's a good thing to do. I suggest that you go King Street, Columbia, take Columbia straight across to Short Columbia and have it come out at Columbia, Blakely, and Main. And you could have a huge roundabout there with a central part for the city. But I think it would be a much nicer way to get around there, too. And I believe there are other ways to increase density. I think you can get houses in here without taking that space. I want to read you and wrap up parts of an editorial by William Cullen Bryant, who was one of the advocates of Central Park in New York. He was the editor of New York Evening Post in the early part of the 1800s. And I quote, "On the road to Harlem is a tract of beautiful woodland, thickly covered with old trees, intermingled with a variety of shrubs. The surface is varied in a very striking and picturesque manner with craggy eminences and hollows, and a little stream runs through the midst. Commerce is devouring inch by inch the coast of this island, and if we would rescue any part of it for health and recreation, it must be done now. All large cities have their extensive public grounds and gardens. Madrid and Mexico, their Alamedas. London, its Regent's Park. Paris, its Champs Elysees, and Vienna, its Prater. There are none of them, we believe, which have the same natural advantages of the picturesque and beautiful which belong to this spot." So in conclusion, I'm absolutely sure that the developers would love to put houses on there. How amazing that the leaders of New York held out against that. I encourage you to have the courage and vision to make Monroe amazing for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hernandez. Did you want to speak on this issue or another issue?
Dr. Little. My son is here, so yes. I tried to...
Okay.
My name is Cerebro.
Mr. Hernandez, right now is a public testimony on the transportation plan.
Okay.
Are you wanting to talk about the August 5th rodeo?
Then
we'll wait.
Okay.
We'll wait for a few minutes until this is done. Okay. Thank you. Jane, I'm sorry. I can't read your last name.
Smitschger.
Thank you.
Jane Smitschger, 312 North Madison Street in Monroe. And I'm a member of St. Mary's Church, and I agree with what Mr. Schilling said. I stand with the Archdiocese in being against this taking of land to extend the Hill Street. And I've been living very close to Hill Street, just about three houses off. That's where our business is, too. I would like to see you really just, you know, set aside this idea, because it's not a good idea to take our green area away from a place in downtown that's grown denser and denser over the years that I've been living here. I've watched people's large yards become houses, and it isn't nice to have that powerful playground area, so I would like to have you leave it. And concentrate on that intersection of Hill and Lewis Street. So that's about all I have to say. I just live in the area, and so that's what I would prefer to see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I don't have anybody else signed up to speak on the transportation improvement program at this time. However, I'd like to open it up to the audience. If you would, just approach the podium and your name and address for the record.
My name is John Mannix. I'm Assistant Superintendent for Operations for Monroe Public Schools, and I'm here representing the school district and our board of directors. So my address in that case is 200 East Fremont Street. I have here with me a copy of a letter that I believe was delivered to your office, Mr. Mayor, earlier today, so I didn't bring copies for everybody, but I'll certainly leave this one. It is from our board of directors and signed by the president of our board, Tom McIntyre. I won't read it verbatim, but first of all, they would like to thank members of the city council who came and had a joint meeting with us on April 30th. They appreciated that opportunity to learn additional information about this particular endeavor, and most particularly to us, of course, the Hill Street expansion, which impacts our property. They appreciate that and look forward to more joint meetings of that nature on issues of mutual concern in the future. After that meeting, the superintendent was asked to review the proposal, particularly again for Hill Street expansion, and take a look at it from the school district's perspective. A list of pros and cons for each of two scenarios was prepared. The first scenario being that the city takes the street right of way and that the district then sell the remaining property to a developer, as was suggested. The second scenario would be that the city takes that street right of way and the district retained that remaining piece of property for future uses. And again, lists of pros and cons from our perspective were developed for each of those two scenarios. Unfortunately, I'm here to tell you that the negatives far outweigh the positives from that work in the school district's perspective. Loss of green space has certainly been spoken to from the community perspective, but it also means a loss of physical education and play fields for Sky Valley Education Center, which is now located immediately across the street. They have for a long time resided out in the industrial park and played in a parking lot, and we're extremely excited about the opportunity to move to a location where there is both a gymnasium for indoor activities and football field, soccer field, track, and baseball fields for outdoor sports, recreation, and physical education. There is a potential for permanent loss of some of those facilities. We would not be able to maintain the football field, soccer field, track in its current location and configuration, and would have to relocate or replicate our varsity baseball field. Both could not be done on that particular piece of property. There are also two utility fields that are used quite heavily for PE and by the community, and something would have to give. We would not be able to replicate all of those. There is, in our opinion, a likely gap in funding, even if we're able to sell the remaining property. We do not believe that would fully fund upgrades to the high school ball fields to make them all-weather fields and make them usable as we would like to do in our capital facility plan. We also know that there will be some gap in timing between the sale of that property and our ability to design the modernization or upgrades to the high school ball fields and implement that construction project. There's also a concern about limits to what we can use that property for if we retain it for future expansion or future schools. Someplace down the road, we're going to need a third middle school again, and we're going to need more elementary schools again, and we'll have other needs at the high school level as well. And all those we're going into a one-year-long capital planning and visioning process that we're just starting. Just finished the demographic study this last week, but this does not align very well with our capital planning process, so I can't tell you today exactly what the impact will be. A year from now, I can tell you that much more specifically. So with that, I'll leave you with a copy of this letter that was provided to us, and thank you.
That's the letter that I forwarded out to everybody.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to address City Council with regards to the six-year transportation improvement program? Please.
My name is Ann Singleton, and I live at 13004 Ingram Road, Monroe, just outside the city limits. My son has been attending Troop 53 in Monroe, meeting at St. Mary's now for several years, and I have had my children attend Sky Valley Education Center for about 6 or 7 years. So we use both sides of the facility, I guess you want to say. From the Boy Scout troop perspective, we were very excited when St. Mary's, our sponsoring organization, invited us to start having the meetings there and the facilities. We were particularly excited about being right next to the ball field and having such a great open space next to the church. One of our boys just recently completed his Eagle Project, making a new playground area right next to the church. And one of his problems in doing the proposal for the project was the onerous problem hanging over him of perhaps having that, a strip of land, taken over by a road. And so there was a real question as to whether or not his project would even go through. But it was determined that since he was about to turn 18 and he really didn't have time to think of another project, he went ahead and made that the preparation for the playground, spending many hundreds of hours doing that. And I can just say, as the advancement chair of Troop 53, it would be a real shame to put all those hours to waste and not have that play field after all for the church children. Which brings me to the other point that I had. So often now, when you see on the ballot, you know, it's for the children, vote for the children. We love our children in our community. And though it strikes me odd that the very people that would be moving into this new housing development will no doubt have children of their own. And had they moved next to that area instead of on that area, I'm sure they would have been the very first ones to say, oh, preserve this play area, preserve this ball field. It is very difficult to reclaim an area once it has been taken over by housing. We are very fortunate to have it, and as the Sky Valley Education parent, I can say that it is utilized every single day, not only by the students, but by the adults that have little children and need a place to take them. They walk around the area and have a great time utilizing that. And there's been a lot of good points made by other people, and I concur with the things that they've already said. But I would just really encourage you to pause and consider that the benefits that you receive, you know, from doing a development, a development can be made anywhere, but it's really, really hard to reclaim an athletic field and area that benefits the schools. Once it's developed, you can never undevelop it. So please ponder that decision carefully with our kids in mind, that the kids really do need this area. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Council, seeing nobody else? Any questions or motion to close public testimony portion of the public hearing.
I move to close the public portion of the
testimony portion.
Testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Davis to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Council? Or Mr. Falberg?
Nope. Time to discuss amongst yourselves.
That's the future. What's that?
Oh, to close the public hearing, yes.
Yeah.
And if you have nothing to say, we can close the public hearing.
Well,
close the public portion.
You did. Oh, yeah, we need to
vote. Yeah.
I'm thinking something else. Okay, yes, we'll vote on the motion. Normally you talk after every motion, there's some form of discussion. So, all right, we'll go. All right, and all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, okay, Council, anything that you'd like to discuss at this point? Councilmember here?
I think it looks like this is coming back next week for adoption, so I'm assuming we're going to have full discussion at that time next week. And so I'd certainly... No, well, it's on the schedule for next week.
Yeah, we're assuming we get the consent agenda because you hammered everything out.
And I think we'd probably get pulled if we put it on the consent agenda. So yeah, I would suggest we put it maybe under final action next week. At least that would be my preference. Mm-hmm. There will most definitely be discussion about it. So that would be my preference. So. Anyway, it looks like it's coming up. So I was assuming that we were going to be talking in depth next week about this, and the purpose of this was to hear from the public on it. Thank you.
All right, Councilmember Gamble.
So, the items that were on here were originally, we created them. I'm trying to remember what year was it when all this was together? 2000.
The initial comprehensive transportation planning was done in 2007.
2007,
yeah.
So, and really, item five, which is where we heard most of the testimony, was all it's Kelsey Blueberry intersection improvements. And the most recent Hill Street extension was one of the options that was brought forward just this year, a couple months ago. So from my perspective, and I look at it, that's not the only option for Kelsey Blueberry intersection improvements, though, correct? Are there other options?
Mm-hmm.
I guess would be my question. And if there are other options, I would love to see those. Would be my thought.
It's the installation of the traffic signal at the intersection of Kelsey and Blueberry.
Any other option that was proposed, except for those two, which would mean the necessity for displacing current residents from their homes in order to create a much better thoroughway. Any of those other streets, one side or the other, is going to be eliminated. Plus, you have in that area, you have how many apartment complexes? Or apartments that we figured was, yeah. So the reason behind the proposed tonight, the extension, was to be able to accomplish both our east-west connector on the south side of Highway 2 and not have to displace people from their homes, because it really doesn't help us to displace people from their homes so that we can add more homes. Our other purpose was to help meet our shortfall in the expectations in total units. What's the term, Brad? The housing shortage. Yeah. So when we were looking at this, it made no sense to wipe out an entire block and three apartment complexes to get our east-west connector, because now we've just compounded our housing shortage at that point. So in looking at this Hill Street extension, this was a way for us to be able to potentially gain housing on the properties if so choose, get our east-west connector without displacing people from their homes today. The trouble with the signal at Kelsey and Blueberry is, well, a lot.
It helps people on Blueberry at the expense of people on Kelsey Street because of the proximity to the
railroad tracks and the signal on Highway 2. So if you let people off Blueberry Lane, you're just backing people up further on Kelsey Street.
And that one was, but that one was priced out, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was about $1.9 million.
Okay. The other issue with that particular project was, relating to that, is we've had developers, potential party or prospective parties interested in what we call a Pete's party pit area next to the existing apartment complexes. They cannot build until a suitable solution is found to the Blueberry Kelsey intersection. So any additional trips, the improvements need to be made in order to hold or withstand the additional trips. We've asked, as part of development, for developers to pay for that $1.9 million for those improvements, and it's just not viable for a builder to do that. And it still doesn't meet, correct, Brad? It still doesn't meet all of the impacts that will be...
correct.
Yeah, I think the level still remains at a D.
Somewhere around there, yeah. I don't recall off the top of my head.
So $1.9 million for the light, and then the other one you brought up was there were two homes that would have to be, that are basically in the way.
Correct.
Okay. For the Hill Street extension.
No,
not for the Hill, not Hill Street. There was another option besides, if we didn't do Hill Street, I'm looking at other options. What are other options? Every other option means at least one side of one street and apartment complexes. So we're displacing. Brad, do you remember how many homes total, including the apartment complexes?
For this one, it's the three fourplexes and a couple houses that people have built in their garages on Maple Street.
The back side.
Yeah. And then doing the signal at Blueberry and Kelsey doesn't require any houses itself. It just makes the one house on the corner of Blueberry and Kelsey have a smaller yard because we make a wider radius there rather than the narrow radius it is now. And then if you just move other things like doing down Elizabeth Street or something like that, then you'd have to take out the apartment complex at the end of it, you know, things like that. So the least impactful of this true east-west connector that goes all the way to Lewis is the Hill Street option.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Councilmember Kettle.
Thank you. Brad, one of the reasons we listed was kind of meeting the density requirements and the targets we needed. When was that number come up with? Refresh my memory.
2005, I think. Because we're right now in the midst of doing the next one, which is going to allocate more houses to the city of Monroe. Okay.
So we're going through that process right now?
Correct.
Okay. And when will those new targets come out?
So they're scheduled to be at the beginning of 2014, I think, for the final ones with drafts the end of this year.
Okay. And you're saying that you foresee those targets being higher?
Yeah. The population forecast that the Puget Sound Regional Council has for 2040 actually is higher. And they're not final numbers yet, but basically they've taken the population forecast, which is higher than the 2025 forecast that they're working off of now, and given less to unincorporated areas and more to cities, so or urban growth areas. And so now they're in the process of calculating what everybody has, and then the process through the county will be to have all the cities negotiate amongst themselves about who gets how many of the future housing units that are going to be allocated.
Okay,
but there will be more to divvy up between the cities.
Okay, thank you.
So the anticipation is that our deficit will grow.
Correct.
Councilmember Hamlin.
Thank you. At the joint meeting with the school board, Suggestion was made about a one-way on Blueberry and Kelsey. I just was interested to see if there's anything, if you've looked into that or what other options there are. I have not been a fan of where this extension ends up at Napa there, because I've sat that light. I think I talked to this last time we talked about this. I've sat at that stop sign many times without an extension for a long time, and I don't see that as a viable exit to go across town myself. So I'm interested to know what other options I'm hearing. This side street won't work, these houses will go, but what other options as far as a one-way circle around that Blueberry area? What other things can we do besides what's being presented and what's obviously being spoken against?
There's quite a number of things you can do. It just depends on what your ultimate goal is. Like the one-way couplet that was mentioned at the school district meeting would work. You could make people go one way or the other. The thing is, what impact will it have on the streets that are now relatively low volume streets? You'll be putting everybody who goes down Blueberry will now be going down Columbia. So what will the people who and King Street? So then that's going to make more people go through the newly the area where the kids are going down to the schools, rather than keeping it north and bringing it down south next to the schools. The other one is, the people who live at one end or the other. Now, right now, you can make a right turn or left turn to get out to the main street, and you're going to have to go all the way around the loop. So things like that. And so that's, that's things to be considered in addition to that is viable. I mean, it's able to do it. You put up, four signs and it's done. So, but, what impact will it have on people? And also, what will that cause to happen with other traffic in the area? Will that make everybody go somewhere else, which will just move a problem? And as far as the intersection of Hill Street and Lewis Street, I've talked to the Washington Department of Transportation, and they won't allow us to put a signal in immediately just because of anticipated traffic. Basically, you have to wait till the traffic shows up, and then when it gets bad, then they'll allow you to install a signal. So.
So that all makes sense, Brad. But looking at other cities that have one-way streets, and I've been in several of them, I know houses that, at one point in time, they could have taken the right and just gone right to the store or wherever they want to go. But at one point in time, that law changed, and now they have to go around the loop. And that was just part of living there. So I would definitely be interested in finding other options besides this Hill Street extension.
So I guess the question, there are other options. It's the goal. What's your goal? Provide the goal, and staff can provide the options. And I think at this time, the goal is trying to meet our current transportation plan, which calls for east-west mobility, which we don't have south of Highway 2, except for Main Street, which is very very busy as well. On the north side, we're looking at Tierney Place. Everybody loves Tierney Place because it doesn't affect anybody. No impacts there, really. On the south side, where do we put that? That's already, correct, Brad, it's already part of our goals is finding additional east-west connectivity. So we either need to change our goals, so create new goals, define goals. Mobility has been the focus in the past. How do we get somebody from point A to point B as directly and as quickly? Straight line from A to B is going to have less impact, or it's going to save on people's gas, time, this, that, and other. You make a big circle, Are you adding to people's trip time? Are you adding to the gas expenditure? I don't know. I'm just throwing that stuff out there. So I appreciate your point about the cities. We're also talking typically about city blocks, which are relatively easy to get around in that sense. Not the same, not quite the same here in Monroe, but potential. So the question really for council is, what is your goal? Is it to change what has been the focus in the past, that is, mobility, to get you there quickly and directly? Is it to redefine what that means? That's the question, really. And once you provide that some clarity there, staff can bring you, right? You got 100 options, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Right now, this option is based on what we currently have in our transportation plan. Councilmember Gamble.
So with that, for me, personally, I'm looking at, if I look at the plan, if it's item number five, at $4.9 million, and just knowing where we're at financially, the likelihood of that is pretty far out there. So, I would be very much interested in seeing options that are along the lines of, what can we do to help traffic flow, for the now? Look at maybe a long-term solution. Me personally, as a citizen, I use those fields all the time. So I very much relate with the testimony that was given today. Having two children in Sky Valley Little League, those are two fields, that are used all the time. And helping out with the leadership in that organization, that would be a big hit to lose those fields. So I get that, and I understand that. So just looking at the financial, piece of this, and then off the testimony, and I do like the concept of keeping those areas. I think it'd be more realistic if the stated goal was more on, okay, how do we improve traffic? That's just my personal opinion. So, there you go.
I appreciate wholeheartedly what you say about the baseball field. I know for 10 years I've been waiting for people have been asking, when are we going to play our varsity games at the high school? Why are we busing varsity players to a home game? But that's a different subject. Councilmember Pettibon.
Thank you. Brad, I just want to clarify something you said about the traffic light, that once we prove there's traffic could come at Hill Street and Lewis.
No, once the traffic is there.
Well, the traffic is there and we show that there's a need for the light, we can put a light up.
Right.
And that's right close to the railroad tracks. Seems a similar problem for me, just like Blueberry and Kelsey. How much would that traffic signal cost and who would pay for that?
The city would pay for it.
Okay.
It depends on exactly how you want to do it. It costs in the range of $350,000 to $500,000 probably.
Okay. So why does that traffic light cost that? And we're saying the one on Blueberry and Kelsey would be $1.9 million. Is there lots of...
Well, that's just the signal cost. It's just because we haven't looked at that intersection yet. And you have to make the corners bigger and, new sidewalks and that kind of stuff. Because that's a lot of the cost of the additional money for Blueberry and Kelsey is to do the other stuff besides just the signal itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you foresee, or you don't know whether we'd have to do other stuff Lewis and Hill Street, it'd be $300,000+ for the light. We don't know what the other costs would
be. It also depends on, when traffic starts going there, do you go there and go, to downtown, or try to get Highway 2? Does that mean you have to put in a separate left turn lane, which would, widen the road or get rid of parking and things like that?
Well, and Council Member Hanford had mentioned this when we talked about Hill Street, maybe a month ago or when we first talked about it, saying, is this just only pushing the problem to Lewis and Hill? And it almost seems that way to me, because we're saying we can't afford a traffic light over on Blueberry and Kelsey, or no developer wants to pay for it because it could cost $1.9 million. Well, we're probably not going to have much development on Lewis and Hill, so the city would end up paying for that traffic light, most likely, is what I think Brad just said. So, that's something I think we need to really look at and flesh out before we really go for the Hill Street extension or feel that's our best plan. So, I'm one council person who believes also, as Some other members had spoken as they came up to the podium about public open space within the urban core and protecting that field space. And I think before we look at, you know, going forward with this Hill Street, we really need to flesh out the other options. And we need to consider doing that, what effect it would have on other intersections. And just spend more time fleshing this out. And you know, it just came forward. It's great that we're looking at other alternatives and new ideas to, you know, have the goal of the East-West connector. I think that's very important. I do agree with that. We need to have mobility. But this just kind of came up, you know, for this council and this community a couple months ago, and I think spending a little bit more time really looking at the other options is important. So, thanks.
Actually, this didn't come up, just come up. This has been on the table or it's been in the planning stages or the consideration stages since 2007 or 2008.
That's when the transportation plan was done, yes.
Yeah, so that it didn't just come up. It's been around for several years. We re-proposed to this current council. Brett, let me ask, I mean, my question to council was direction and so forth. Part of that could be dependent upon a transportation or a comprehensive transportation plan, whatever you call it.
Update.
Yeah, update.
Yeah.
How much to do that?
I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you how much it cost to do the last time.
Okay.
And then when we talked to consultants to see how much it is to modify one. But we did the one in 2007, it cost $198,000 to do the comprehensive transportation plan. So one would assume that they wouldn't have to start from scratch like they did then, so there would be some cost savings, but I wouldn't hazard a guess on whether that's, you know, three-quarters, half, two-thirds, whatever, but one would assume it wouldn't be any more except for, you know, inflation factors of what it was last time. So
there was a lot of time consideration and dollars spent in creating the plan.
Yeah, it also took 18 months, so... So one would assume that if the desire of council direction isn't to change the basic, you know, goals, just doing the new modeling for current transportation volumes that are out there and the different scenarios of if you do this, what does it affect the other intersections? You know, playing the what if games would be less than doing a full scale plan.
Councilor Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. Brad, what is the effect of leaving this item on the transportation plan? What impact does that have? My understanding is we can't allocate resources to solving this problem unless it's on the plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Leaving it on the plan does not guarantee that the Hill Street extension is the solution that's going to be adopted. Is that also correct?
Correct.
So what I'm looking at is item number five, which is solving the problem that exists at Blueberry Lane and also the southbound east-west connector, not necessarily implying that the Hill Street extension is the way to do that. Is that a fair statement, or are we saying that if we adopt it the way it is right now, that we're basically going down the Hill Street extension path?
We're aiming towards the Hill Street extension path, but... You know, there's a lot of work to be done before any of the projects go to construction, except the couple that we've already designed. So, you know, it's not cast in stone. You know, you basically have a starting point and an ending point, and what it does in between is up in the air still.
Okay. That's all I have. Thanks.
Councilman Gill.
Well, on Tom's point, I mean, it wasn't even known as the Hill Street Connector until here a couple months ago. It was, the item was Blue Street or a Blueberry Lane intersection. So,
well, I think to we named it Hill Street. The plans were, or the drawings or plans were made 3 years ago.
Understood. But from my perspective, as a, you know, I just came on in December, right? And when I looked at this originally, probably for some of us on council that have only been here a couple of years, that's all it's been called, is the Blueberry, you know, Hill Street, Blueberry Lane. Actually, Hill Street wasn't associated with the first one.
Blueberry Kelsey.
Blueberry Kelsey is exactly what it was called. There we go. That's what I was thinking. Thanks. So really, that's what we're trying to solve, whether it's whatever the resolution is, that's what we're trying to solve, is to mitigate the traffic flow there. Is that what you're trying? What you were saying?
Well, my point is, I don't care what we call it.
Correct.
that means
we just need to mitigate that.
Yeah, and you know, in looking at this, I was at the school district meeting, and I was having a little trouble following which argument was being brought up against it, because I kept hearing, we need the open space, we need to preserve it for schools, to build a school. And so, you know, I understand that there's trade-offs in anything that we do. I had a little bit of trouble understanding that argument of, you know, we have to preserve it for open space, but we're going to eventually want to build a school there. Once you build a school, the fields are gone anyways. So, you know, in my opinion, just based on what I heard there, the fields have a short lifespan in the city anyways. So I just got to take that piece of information also in where my decision comes from.
Appreciate you bringing that up. I was going to ask permission to ask Mr. Maddox a question that was related to the future use. Dr. Hoover did mention at the end of that meeting that we can't count on that being open space forever. There is potential for development there, whether it's a school or whether it's something else. Yes?
Yeah, there is certainly a potential that the district may choose to use that particular piece of property in some fashion in the future. And again, our year-long capital vision process will help determine that. But what I have seen done on numerous occasions is that maybe a new school or facility will be built on the west side of the property where there's some more space, and then ball fields created in the rest of that, and then possibly on the east side where there's currently buildings. So until we put the plan together, I can't tell you how much of that will remain as green space into the future or exactly what the uses would be, but either are possibilities.
And one of the things that I had shared at the joint meeting there was that there's nobody is, how did I say it, we're not ahead of anybody. This entire discussion is for the purpose for both the school district to be able to plan long range, at the same time that the city is looking at long range options to meet their goals. And so the intention, the hope, and I believe the result will be that the school district and the city will come together to create a strategy that is conducive to both long-term goals, long-term plans. So, Councilmember Gearing?
Thank you. I want to piggyback a little bit on what Councilmember Williams says. I don't have a... We have an issue at Kelsey Blueberry, and however we end up figuring it out, we need to figure it out. And from that standpoint, we need to leave number five here. It's not a done deal by leaving it on here that will be the solution, whether it's the way we're, you know, that staff would like to lead or not. That's still a legislative decision for us. And so from that standpoint, I have no problem, you know, leaving this on here. I think we need to, because we have an issue that we have east-west corridor issues. We have to fix it. And so whatever solution ends up being I don't know that anybody was suggesting removing it, but I think there will obviously be further discussion about it. So I have no problem leaving it here. Comments taken into consideration from staff and from the public. Thank you.
Councilman? To comment, Kurt, on what you just said, is the reason why we went down this path is because the mayor was asking for what was a stated goal and direction. And I think when we call it the Hill Street Extension Project, is that it brings with it a different stated goal than calling it the Blueberry Lane Kelsey Project. So I agree with you. I think it needs to stay on there from, you know, the Blueberry Lane Kelsey Project. But if, you know, when you refer to it only as, and I didn't know what that meant the first time it showed up, just as, you know, it's Hill Street, that it means a different stated goal beyond just mitigating the traffic issues.
The goal for me is still east-west. The goal has been, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the transportation plan in the past. It would be a mistake for us to change east. I think east-west is our issue, right? South Highway 2. And so figuring out how to do that, right? Again, I don't. that's fine. It's really semantics, I think, at that point, I think. So.
I was going to say, and the focus on east-west, resolving east-west will resolve Kelsey and Blueberry. Providing improvements to Kelsey Blueberry does not resolve east-west. So doing east-west will resolve the other. But one, but Blueberry, correct? Yeah, we're looking at east-west connectivity and so forth. So providing improvements to Blueberry and Kelsey does not solve east-west that is currently in the transportation plan. But providing an east-west connector, let's say, south of Highway 2, that resolves Blueberry. Because it will eliminate much of the impacts that happened today. And it provides another, with regards to the development there, an east-west connector south of Blueberry, it helps to resolve that Blueberry backup. Councilmember Hanford.
So with that said, can we remove the Hill Street extension verbiage from number 5?
And just call it east-west Kelsey. Connector or Kelsey?
I agree it needs to stay in there, as has been stated, but at this point, I don't foresee any reason not to go ahead with this in the coming weeks. But by giving a yes vote to the entire package with number 5 saying Hill Street extension in parentheses, to me, that's almost we're giving an unofficial blessing to Hill Street extension.
Call it South side east-west connector.
Yeah.
There you changed it.
I'd be satisfied with that. I'm just asking that the verbiage get changed so that wording comes out.
Councilman Williams?
Thank you. But that was going to be my suggestion, too. If you just change the name and call it, east-west connector, south of Highway 2, or something to that effect. Knowing full well that that's going to be the best viable option to do, that might be the only option that we have to do it. I know that if it was called Kelsey Blueberry Intersection Improvements, I personally would not vote in favor of that if it came up while I was on council, because I think putting a street light, we have a highway 2, a railroad track, and then a street light all within 50 feet of each other, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. So I would be more in favor of, east-west connector south as opposed to just Kelsey Blueberry intersection improvements.
Did you get that verbiage? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Campbell.
Thank you. So the numbers associated with this particular line, these are not specific to a Hill Street extension. They're just...
No, that is specific to a Hill Street extension.
All right, that's what I was wondering about. So for this particular... So we changed the verbiage to eliminate the Hill Street extension part and change it to the west connector issue, then all these numbers would have to be modified based on the plan, because we then would not have a specific plan we'd be looking at. Correct.
I would say the numbers would stay the same because that's probably the most expensive cost. So it leaves your options open, as opposed to if you're only interested in changing the backup on Blueberry Lane to make that intersection right turn only, it costs you $145 for putting a new sign in. It's kind of more than that. I'm trying to do something east, move traffic east and west, not just stop the backup on Blueberry Lane. So there needs to be a number in there of some magnitude.
Okay, so we're getting on the high side with this.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so if there was something else, we'd probably be under it or at least within the range.
Right.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
All right, very good. Go for it. We got direction. And well, we've got direction at least on that on the naming, which is good, and that does allow, I believe, for some for some mobility there, and we will certainly do that. As I said in my email today, staff has been very diligent, and will continue to look at all options. Councilmember Campbell.
Thank you. I have one question for the school board. I'm sorry, you're the director of
Assistant Superintendent.
When you have your long-range plan available, is it normally set up to the council?
You know, I don't honestly know. It is a public document, and so we'd certainly be glad to share it.
Well, since I would appreciate just having a copy sent, I think would be of interest to the council for our future plans.
I mean, if I may urge you, is it available online, perhaps?
As long as
we have tape to and download it, so, or whatever. The plan we have available now was developed in 2009.
Or
the 2010 bond, which did not pass. So the new plan a year from now will be changed. And we're just beginning into that planning and visioning cycle. So I don't have a plan to share with you at this point.
Okay. Do you have a target date?
Next year.
Next year. Literally about 12 months from now.
Oh, okay.
So, Max, how much participation or involvement do you have from city staff with regards to this plan?
There are certainly, when we're looking at development, when we're looking at visioning, we typically gather some input, but until we get to the process of designing the facility and go into the permitting process, I would say it's limited. We would be more than happy to have participation. It's a public process, and we look for community members, business members, parents, and others to help participate in that process and help us develop our vision.
Council, with seeing no lights, hearing no other comments, we'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Hamford to close the public hearing. Last chance for any comments, questions? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. We'll give a couple minutes. Thank you. Thank you. For those who would like to step out. Okay. At this point in the agenda is our time that is set aside for comments from citizens. It's an opportunity for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We'd ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes, and we appreciate your name and address for the record. I do have one individual signed up at this time, and that's Mr. Hernandez. Excuse me. And if you'd like to come to the podium. And Mr. Hernandez is here to speak about something I'm very excited about.
My name is Cirilo Hernandez. I live in 135 South M Street in Marlboro. So my son will not tell you. My English not.
That's very good.
Well,
I just recently moved down from California, so I really don't have much information. My brother's the one taking care of all this, Candido Hernandez. And we're basically doing an event on August 5th, right? In the Evergreen State Fairgrounds. And we're actually doing that down on the actual speedway. So we're going to be using the Great Fair Garden. All the scenes going to be like on the side, and the event, actual bull riding event, it's down on the actual pit, on the speedway, and everyone's invited.
So if I may,
a community event.
Yeah, we've been having three or four times, maybe five conversations now at this point with regards to a rodeo that will be taking place. Your
first rodeo, did it take place already in
we've had a couple.
It's Issaquah? Did that happen, or is that coming up?
It's coming up.
16. That's right. So the same or a similar event will be taking place out at the fairgrounds at the Speedway. I had a conversation with Doug and Tracy Cobbs, who are the operators of the fair Speedway. They're very excited about that. I had an opportunity to speak with the owner of what's my favorite steak place in town? What is it? My favorite, expensive. What is this on Highway 2?
Buzz In.
And I believe that they are going to be part of the program as well.
Yeah.
Craig so we expect that we will have as many as maybe 5,000 people?
Or more.
Show up.
20.
Yeah.
So the convention is like a $15 to get in.
Yeah.
And so no matter how many people, like a 10 and down is not paid. Mm-hmm. 10 and down is not paid. So.
Ages 10 and under.
Yeah. So we'll see not only the rodeo, but we'll have some bands there.
There's some live bands, jumpers for the kids.
Yeah.
And, I'll go off for the big feathers.
So what was the time frame? I missed the time frame.
It's August 10th.
Well, no, I got the day. I just the time
frame. I believe it was around from 2 to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, like 2 to 10.
2, yes. 2. 10.
So I'm brushing up on my Spanish. So I'll be saying a few words in Spanish. Greeting everybody. If anybody knows how to ride a horse and can carry a flag, we need to walk. We need somebody to volunteer for that. Mr. Gehring,
you're up for that. This is number one.
I'm watching that.
We don't want to drive the horse to the get fly like one Mexican, like the mayor in the horse to the start, like the one round, but he don't want it.
Yeah.
No. So he wants to ride the horse.
Yeah. Maybe it's that big, yeah.
So I like it when somebody, you guys do it, like one Mexican and one white boy. So that way, see like more community, more.
No, you're in just Korea. Sure.
So that's why my son being, and he speaks better too. So he know.
The other guy.
Yeah, he's in charge.
He know. Yeah.
Average us all. Called Danny, but the name's Candido. So, you guys invite to what coming to our group.
Great. So you'll have flyers for that. They had some really great flyers.
The flyers
though. Yeah.
Not yet.
And the point is really to bring the two cultures together, American, Mexican cultures together. So families are invited and desired.
Yes.
No, I'm really excited about it. We've been talking about it for a long time and glad that it's coming to fruition very closely or very soon. So, looking forward to that.
We're excited they're opening the doors for us.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be great for the community.
I tried a long time too hard to try to be more close to the Spanish, to English. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's too hard. Mm-hmm. I work hard, but I don't get nothing yet. So
it's a big step.
We're on our way.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And we look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any question? I don't have a card with me, but I'm living right in a big city recycling.
Okay. Sure.
So any question or
comments? Ideas or something different.
Yeah, I'm open to you guys. Waiting for you guys to help me. And
we've gotten the chamber involved, correct? The Chamber of Commerce.
I'm invited to the Chamber of Commerce. And I don't remember yet. I lost it. I'd be in 2 years, but I don't pay to this year. but I'm pretty good, and they know me. So I work together with her. Or try to work together with her. And I try to be try to work to do something.
Well, I really appreciate you coming out. We talked about having you come and speak before council. Thank you for doing that. And council, mark that on your calendars, August 5th. We'll see all of you out there in your chaps and cowboy hats.
You're on the pole.
Sorry for being so. I've got minimal information also. So I just got kind of thrown up here.
All right.
Good.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Adios.
Adios. See you guys in August. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk before. Thank you. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda, Councilmember Gearing.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I don't do that. That's the first time I've ever done that, isn't it? We were so excited about the bull riding, I wanted to get to it. So.
I know. Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
Mr. Rasmussen, how are you?
Good. Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150th Street Southeast, right here in Monroe. Do you all remember when you bought your house? Do you remember, more importantly, why you bought your house? Easy question we should all be able to answer. Chances are we wanted some place to take shelter, to eat, sleep, bathe, do whatever. If someone was to ask you this, as I did today, would you tell them those things? Or would you tell them that it's the house is a place where you raise your family, watch TV, have family gatherings, Christmas, Easter, whatever the case may be, worship, who knows? But if you were to ask why you bought your house, do you tell them it's because you took shelter or because of the family? When I bought my house, it was the main purpose, of course, was to take shelter, to have some place to sleep. Now, don't get me wrong, I was fortunate enough, I had that already, but that was the main reason why I bought my house. But since I moved in, put pictures on the wall, painted the walls, painted first, then pictures, of course, changed floors, you know, added my stuff, and pretty soon my house became a home, became my home, and it became my family's home. It's where my wife and I are fortunate enough to be raising our first son, 20 months old now. Awesome. You know, I tell you this because I want you to think about that. You know, since July of last year, I keep hearing these comments that Lake Ty is just a drainage pond. There's no mistake about it. When the city of Monroe built Lake Ty, it was for the purpose of serving as a drainage pond to help prevent and control flooding in that area. No doubt about it. And it, you know, the best thing about it, especially for someone that lives down there, it still serves that purpose. Okay? But what's happened since then? Yeah, we've built a green path trail around it. We've developed one of the most beautiful parks that people have seen. Wildlife has moved in. People go there to swim. They go there to hang out. They go there to barbecue. They go there to kayak. They go there to row. They go there to do all kinds of stuff. It's not a drainage pond to me. In fact, if you're to ask the majority of the people that use that lake, that park, it's not a drainage pond. It's a beautiful lake. And so I come and I ask again, why are we trying to push a cable park into that body of water when there are other options to do it? Why are we trying to litter that beautiful piece of water with 8-9 lattice towers that, quite frankly, are, no matter how you color them, how you try to hide them, there's still lattice metal towers that stick up and into something that's beautiful. It's like trying to walk into my house and, you know, put a big old pole in the middle of my living room and paint it fluorescent orange. You know, some people might think that's pretty neat, but frankly, I think it's disgusting. I feel the same way about these lattice towers, especially because I do believe wholeheartedly, and I think many of you do too, that there are other options within our city to put those towers and to welcome a cable park. I just want you to think about that. And the next time we think about Lake Tai as a drainage pond, think of your house, of your home, as just a house. Put in that perspective and think about what you're potentially changing for those of us that believe that Lake Tai is not a drainage pond, but a beautiful, magnificent lake that the city is fortunate to have. Think about that. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Thank you.
My name is Janet Lee. I live at 10302 159th Avenue Southeast in Snohomish, about 3 miles away from Lake Tai. And I realize that for the most part, you guys have already probably made your decisions, but I want to be able to sleep at night and know I said a couple things that possibly you didn't think of, or maybe you'll think, hey, bingo. You know, Lake Tai, my daughter and her family live in the Frylands, and so I'm down here a lot, and I go around the lake all the time. And I realize that the guys you had in here that want to put up the wakeboard park said that, oh yeah, there's no noise to the motor. Sure, maybe not. But if you've ever heard a zip line, there's a bzzz any time it goes by. So there's always that. And they say, oh no, we're not going to be on the loudspeaker too much. Well, they'll be on it, and they're going to be on it until dusk. And a lot of little people in the neighborhood that adjoins right over there have little kids they're putting to bed around 7. And they're going to have this blaring deal going on. Say, hey, better get that guy over there. You know, so you got that. And here you have in Monroe, I feel like you're always working from a weak point, like desperate for income. So it makes you look just like, oh my gosh, we'll take anything. So they don't have to do too much. They're not offering you hardly anything. And you're giving up so very much. I mean, you have over there in Snohomish, they have access to the Centennial Trail, Woodinville, the Burke Gilman Trail. Here we have Lake Tai. Instead of looking like we don't really care, you know, what happens here in the community or anything like that, that it doesn't matter, it'd be neat to see that Monroe does care for some outside places for the people to go do stuff where they can be family-friendly and family-compatible rather than just something that's primarily preteen, teenagers to adults. Whereas when it's just the park, you can take your kids around, your kids are there playing on the stuff, and you're not having all the traffic. Plus you have, they say, oh yes, well we have secured a place across the street from the lake for overflow parking. Well, the Monroe Police Force is already pretty busy. So now they're going to have to monitor people running across the four-lane road, and that's what will happen. Because, you know, I was a teen once. I probably would have done it. And so where does all that go? What happens? Who's liable for that? The city or the wakeboard people? Are they going to pay for that? Or are they going to pay for, you know, a crosswalk with a blinking light or something? But it's all going to end up on the city. And the towers, they're just like a scar. They're just going to be there. The guy tried to say, oh, they're just like a power line. No. We don't have power lines circling the lake. They're just going to circle the lake and just be a scar. So anyway, you know, and just something to think about that you probably already pondered. And maybe you don't care, but at least I can walk the lake and think I said something. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very
good.
Sir?
I'm John Galbraith, and I live at 5722 Wonderland Road
And I missed most of the previous discussions because I was involved in some things, but I came tonight because I thought it was going to be on the agenda. And if there are more questions of me, I'll come back again. My background is in physical education, facilities, and education, as well as I'm a former park department director, with a specialty in aquatics. I have multitudes of years of doing this. I have some questions and concerns that appear to be still unresolved on the recreational use of Lake Ty. As I say, I've missed some previous meetings, so there may be some gaps, and some of you wish to talk to me, they can fill in the gaps. My understanding, the purpose of the wakeboard and cable tow facility is to provide recreation and revenue for the residents of the city of Monroe and the surrounding area. To my knowledge, this system is untried in the Northwest, at least extensively. Whether it may limit the amount of revenue that will be available here, probably put a lid on it, or possibly. My also understanding is that the principals in this endeavor have not run a large recreational facility or enterprise before. And I've done a little checking on this, although I've not been able to talk with them. I think that's worth looking at. I have before, my family has, much larger than this for certain, much, much larger, not even in the same picture. I am unaware of a professional financial study that would be done to evaluate the success of this potential wakeboard business. I'm going to skip on this next one and back to it as necessary. My main thought on this is, in order to protect the city of Monroe, a sizable bond must be obtained by the principals at least twice the cost of removing the cable towers and any other equipment or whatever goes along with Murphy's Law. Very well can. I've had some experience with towers in the mountains, for example. I would suggest a bond would need to be in the neighborhood of $2 million or more, just to allow. That's without having done as much research as I'd been able to like to do. Liability insurance of at least $5 to $10 million must be provided by their corporation. A private waterfront homeowner typically must count on having a $6 million umbrella liability insurance coverage to cover any water-related accidents on their own property. The city of Monroe needs no less protection than that. This is an area which I know a great deal about, waterfront protection, and for other reasons in my profession. The dedication of the lake to this one use is likely to limit public attraction to much less available time on and around the lake as in past summers. I think a good hard look at possible expansion of lake and water-related uses to provide additional revenue is appropriate at this time. Some multi-use programs could involve overlapping activities such as fly fishing school, kayaking school, sailing classes, even as much, and I'm aware of some of this and know some experts in this, jet ski racing. There is a circuit in this area. It comes once or twice a year. It's well organized, has run for more than 10 years. Crew racing, instruction, and clubs might be too small for that, but that's a potential. Outdoor concerts and other ideas that maybe have not been fully explored. I think the number of unanswered questions is sizable for this facility. The care in which an approach of having such impact need continued studying, at least continued thought. Maybe this facility should be looked at a little more carefully, a little more extensively. I'd be glad to meet with anybody and give them the benefit of what I know and just listen to what you have to say. There are other alternatives to generate funds. I have a great deal of questions of how much funds this actually might go, One way to find out is take a boat out there, do it for a month of August, charge the same rates, do the same advertising, run it the same hours, and see what you've got. And do it that way. There are seven lakes in this area that each have a water ski association that have courses, that have areas that are restricted to water skiing or wakeboarding. When I say water skiing, wakeboarding at the same time, and they are all in Snohomish County, and they're all well known, and you can look at the facilities and look at the, talk to the lake associations in each area and get a feeling of what's done. And that does not include Lake Stevens. These are all small lakes, mostly a mile to a mile and a quarter long. Anyways, I think I've covered most of it. Probably will come back and learn. I hope I've offered some thoughts for you, and particularly in terms of liability, particularly in terms of a bond that's sizable enough. As I say, without sharing all of my background, I'm familiar with what towers are, what happens when they go wrong, especially in the mountains. This was a family business, and I have some background in it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience who'd like to address council tonight? My apologies for moving on so quickly. Like I said, I was excited about that rodeo, wanting to get to it. Okay, consent agenda?
2A.
Councilmember Gamble has asked to pull item 2A. Councilmember Gearing?
I'd like to pull the item, please.
I'm sorry, which one?
Number three.
Number three. How about we ask Councilmember Gamble to exit now. We'll vote on the on everything.
You want to vote on this?
Oh, no, yeah, let's, okay. All right, Councilmember Gearing, you can... your lights on, make a motion for what's left here.
Oh, sure. Motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve consent agenda items 1, 4, 5, and 6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let's go to 3 while Councilmember
Gearing. Yeah, good. Just very quick, I did want to point out that unfortunate in general that we need to do an amendment, and the biggest portion, of course, is due to the Funk lawsuit, and I just wanted to say on the record that I thought that was unfortunate, that our taxpayers are bearing the burden of that, and we're being forced to amend our budget because of that. Otherwise, I would move to approve the second final reading of the ordinance amending the 2012 budget.
Second.
All right. Motion is made by Councilmember Gearing, seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve consent agenda item number 3, ordinance amending 2012 budget, seconded by 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I have to excuse myself from voting on the accounts payable bills because there is a bill that's in there for the corporation I work for. Abundance of caution, I'm going to excuse myself from the vote.
Okay. Let the record show that Councilmember Gamble is recusing himself and now leaving the chamber. Do I have any discussion or a motion to approve the consent agenda item number 2?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made by Councilmember Camp, Member Williams, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve consent agenda item number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Councilmember Gearing.
Who made the motion?
Councilmember Williams. On. item number 1 here, new business, discuss address changes, and Mr. Feiler.
Thank you. So once again, we're talking about addresses.
We have investigated what it takes to request the change, and that was included in your cover sheet. It's basically sending a formal letter to the Seattle district manager, and they think about it. As long as it doesn't cost them money, they're pretty likely to say okay and tell everybody that they have 30 days to change their addresses. So we are looking for direction from the council on whether we should start that process for the Roosevelt Road area.
Councilor Gearney.
Thank you. I also talked to them as well after you guys did. Kathleen Turner, I thought it was a movie star I was talking to, but what's her name at the post office? A couple things on here look a little different than what I saw. If there's any cost to the post office, they wouldn't do the last line in the zip code. And I don't believe it costs them anything to do a preferred line change. At least that was my understanding having the conversation with them. So at least the way I was reading it here looked as if you were saying if there was any cost whatsoever. My understanding was with a preferred line change, which doesn't do anything other than change it to Monroe 198272, doesn't change the post office that delivers it, the person that delivers it, doesn't change anything but that. There's no cost to them to do that. It's literally just they got a stamp. That was my understanding, so I didn't know if you had a different impression with regard to that than I did. And otherwise, they have an entire year after it changes, all their mail still would get forwarded there as well, so the 30 days is not a hard and fast change. That was what I was told as well, so I didn't see that reflected here, but I wanted to make sure that's was clarified. With regard to that, as I had said before, it's been 4 years since this piece of land has been in the city. It still has a Snohomish address. That doesn't make sense. And I certainly think we need to move forward and make the request to have addresses along that road reflect a Monroe address. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate Councilmembers Gearing's persistence here. I think the message overall is that it provides for continuity within the city, which is what we're trying to do in other places as well. Councilmember Hanford?
I just wanted to concur with what's been said and the goal of the community coming together and feeling part of a community and part of the city. So I would say we should initiate the changes. Thank you.
Thank
you. I agree. I think it would be nice to just nail down whether it is a 30-day or whether they do have more time. I can see members, a 30-day seems, I mean, to change if you have numerous bills and maybe, do you know what I mean?
Guarantee's good for.
Yeah, and I just think knowing that so we can communicate that to residents would be important, just so they don't get it and or don't see it for a few days and then go, oh gosh, I have a couple weeks to change all these addresses, just so that we really clarify that so we can communicate clearly to residents how long they have to make the change. But I do agree it would be nice if they had a Monroe address, if they're in the city limits, as long, you know, it doesn't cost the city any money and it's time for the residents. But I think if we lay the expectation that part of being annexed in is your address will change right from the start, that would be helpful. So, thank you.
Anything else, Council?
So we have no direction whatsoever.
That's kind of
three people who said they were in favor of it. That was it.
We need to send the formal letter. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, but.
I didn't hear anyone say anything different than that.
Yes,
and
yes.
Negative.
Yeah.
Councilmember Camp.
Make it four.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. There you go. It sounds as though I've taken a vote. Almost consensus. Once I hear no objection, means consensus. Send a formal letter requesting change of city and zip code to, is that a female or, I'm sorry, Mr. or Mrs. Mellon's?
That's Mr.
Mr. Millinson,
yes.
Seattle District Manager. Okay.
Very nice folks at the post office, I'll say. Very
accommodating, took the time to explain everything to me as well as staff. So.
And one point of clarification will be the 30-day notice, whether that's 30 days or whether it's truly a year before they have to.
I'll put money on the fact that it's 30 days, but they'll still deliver at your old address for a year following that. But again, we'll need to get the official stamp.
How much money are you talking about?
I will stake my reputation on them happening.
Okay, I think we're moving forward here. Very good. All right. Okay, next item is ordinance amending chapter 10.10 parking regulations pertaining to pounding vehicles. This is the first reading. Chief Quinzer.
This proposed ordinance amending chapter 10.10 addresses sufficient vehicles that violate parking laws and impede normal business access to downtown businesses. This ordinance would allow police the discretion to impound vehicles that have more than 5 unpaid parking tickets before the vehicle would be released. The registered owner would have all outstanding parking violations would need to be paid, and our anticipated number would be approximately 2 vehicles a year that this would pertain to. In the ordinance, if you've looked at the ordinance, the only area that changed would be under item H. I recommend the motion to accept this as the first reading of the amended ordinance.
Councilmember Gearing?
Not so moved.
Second.
Motion is made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve as the first reading. And for the record, we'll have the city attorney read the official title of the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. An ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Chapter 10.10 of the Municipal Code Parking Regulations, providing standards and procedures governing the impoundment of vehicles for certain parking infractions, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a couple questions. Chief, what's driving this proposed change, and why the number 5? What, you know, that seems like a lot to me. So,
There are several individuals that live downtown that park their vehicles on the street, and we basically clutter their windshield up with parking tickets, and they don't appear, they don't ask for a hearing, they just, I guess, throw them in the garbage. We have no recourse to go back after them. It's not like a you don't lose your driver's license type issue. And the number 5, I know it does sound like a lot, but I can tell you one that I have a license number memorized. I've seen it so many times. We've sent letters out to this individual, and my guess is we're probably close to 25 to 30 tickets that the individual has. Our officers have contacted the individual, and the individual becomes very belligerent and is quite aware there really isn't anything we can do. So we looked at this. We consulted several different cities on their parking ordinances, how they enforce it, and came up with this addition after we tried to pass the city attorney.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Kent.
Thank you. Chief, are there any additional signage information we have to put out? Or is this strictly just procedural?
No. When a person receives a citation and they don't take care of it, we send them a letter, and in that letter we will inform them, and especially if it is multiple times that they fail to respond, we will give them a little, notice that there is this portion of the ordinance that we intend upon enforcing if they don't take care of their fines.
So they will have fair warning with their first violation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Ketovic.
Thank you. So just a question about that particular person. they have 30 currently. Once we pass this ordinance, are they open? Are you able to impound their vehicle, or do you have to start over and do 1 through 5 or on their next ticket, or can you see the vehicle and impound it?
That particular one, no, we're not going to see the vehicle and impound
okay.
it.
Okay, just asking.
We will let it go one more time, but I'm sure it'll happen within a very short period of time, and then we'll enforce it.
So on the next ticket, it'll be enforced for that person. Okay. Thank you.
All right, any further questions for Chief Quinzer? Councilmember Kent?
I'm sorry, that does bring up a question. So on the next ticket, they won't get the additional warning. They will just get the next ticket and get pulled.
Well, if you would like, we can send this person a warning. I personally think that, you know, 25 to 30 letters from me telling them that they need to take care of it is enough of a warning.
I think maybe that individual. I'm thinking of the person who's got 4.
Yeah.
And this is their 5th one. This is a brand new law or a brand new ordinance. And suddenly the rules have changed. Maybe they talk to this other person who's got 30.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't care. So, you know, I know you don't care.
I said, I'm not worried.
I'm going to stay out of this part. It's your division. You're going to work it.
I have no problem with the person that has 4 mm-hmm. and they don't take care of it, we send them a letter. See, I always send them a letter if they haven't taken care of it. It's basically, you know, this is past due, you need to take care of it. And the one that has 4 is going to get a letter, and they're going to get notice that, warning that we're going to impound it. And if they don't want to take care of it, then we'll go ahead and
sure.
do it.
Okay. I'm just curious, thank
you. Is there a back?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I heard that correctly. So if you do warn someone after 4 tickets, you send them a letter saying, hey, on your next ticket, you're going to be impounded, or no?
When we are going to start, when this becomes effective, we are going to start on the first letter that we send out after they do not take care of the ticket, mm-hmm. notifying that we do have this ordinance, which will allow us to impound.
Okay.
I'm not going to put in there, you get 4 more.
No, I didn't know if you just send them a letter and then on the 4th you say, you know, you say something different. So I just want to make sure I understand. So if I get questions about
wink,
it,
wink.
I can say
it
very clearly on the first one. Okay. Thank you.
Question that on the second one, they get impounded.
They had an angry face on the second one.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief? All right. We'll take a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Right. Thank you, Chief. Okay, we will now entertain council member reports. I'm sure after 3 weeks it's got to be something. Council member Gary?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to summer. The Monroe lacrosse season just ended, and we have it was a very rough season for the first year of Monroe High School lacrosse and the youth divisions, but we're looking forward to and next year being a little bit better with more kids having experience. And we finished the full season this Saturday in the Harvey Cup against, which is in the Harvey Field at Snohomish, against a bunch of regional teams. But it's fun to see that sport kind of take off in this particular area. Along that note, our neighbors in Snohomish, the high school team, won the Division II lacrosse championship against the Blue Bloods from the east side. So it's always nice to see them. Teams from towns in Snohomish County beat the East Side team. So, thank you very much.
Right. Councilmember Cadillac, then. Councilmember Williams. Councilmember Kim. Okay. Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Gamble. Good. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, we were at the Senior Awards Night. We saw Councilmember Cadillac from the Apple Line. And I was very proud to see the seniors and all the different awards that they've been given and the different scholarships offered and and I really think our high school is doing a tremendous job. So proud of everyone.
Councilmember Camper, Councilmember Cutter, I can help me here, but I believe that the total amount of scholarships offered this year was close to $6 million. Mm-hmm. $6 million.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Now, that's not what was accepted, but $6 million in offered scholarships this year.
So the Monroe Public School Foundation, that hasn't been in place for that long, but that I serve on, through that organization, there was over, we raised over $47,000, $50,000 worth of scholarships last year, which is their best ever. So that was a big uptick from 12.
Yeah.
And the presenters, Jason, the Jason and Jason show, are both on the Monroe Public School Foundation board. So.
Okay, out to staff. Jeff?
I guess a couple of things. There's a new energy, I think, downtown with Dream and the Chamber and the city. Been having some very good meetings, and so I think you're going to see the three groups working together in a much more active way moving forward. So I just wanted to let you know that's transpiring. The other thing that the Chamber has proposed and we're working on inside City Hall is the Chamber tagging into the city's website and occupying a portion of the business page, and we still have to figure out how that's all going to functionally work so that improper content, is that right, Ben? Doesn't get posted on the city's website that we're obligated to defend. But the idea would be is the Chamber is excited about how the city's website looks and feels, and they would like to replicate that throughout their advertising and same font, same colors, that sort of thing. So lots of energy in that area. So. Oh, and on another note, the Factors Group will be closing tomorrow. Tomorrow on their property on Sir Tompkin Building. So we will have a new tenant in town or a new business in town. And so that's very exciting and more involved.
Factors Group is anticipated to bring an additional 350 to 400 manufacturing positions to Monroe. I think this is a result of some very proactive work on behalf of City Administrator Brazel, Mr. Sachs, Mr. Melka, and Mr. Valbert. I think the staff has done a tremendous job in being very proactive in reaching out to this organization, and I think it's a result of that work that we're seeing Factors Group come to Monroe. We're very thrilled with the organization and the connectivity and interaction that they have with the community. And so hats off to staff for a job well done in helping to bring that business to our city. So. Chief Quinzer, anything additional?
No.
Ben?
No.
Diane?
844 of our utility billing customers have signed up user accounts for our online utility billing program. 73 of them have opted to get their bills electronically. So people are using the new program.
I think that's pretty good. Is it for how many days now? Or?
How long have we had it? It was in late March, I think. Yeah. We got it rolling.
Two months, 3 months. Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Good. Mr. Feinberg.
Can you remind me about something, Gene?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at you.
Okay. The mayor sent you, I think, 2 weeks ago, an email about, if you look at the homepage of the city's website, it says government, residents, business, visitors, changing the residents block to say community to sort of be more inclusive of the greater Monroe community. In order to have that done, it's only $80 instead of the $300. The person, our sales rep, Wait, customer engagement specialist, I think is what they call them. was on vacation when the first quote came out, and the guy said $300, but now our real one came back, and he said it's only going to cost $80 to have them make the new button, basically. So we're looking for direction if that's something that wants to be done.
And now I could have just done the check here or there, but I wanted to bring it to council for consideration. I did hear back from Councilmember Hanford. As Mr. Fowler mentioned, this community expands, and we've heard that over and over again at the podium, beyond those who just reside within the city limits. And with all that we are doing in terms of regional programs and so forth, it came to mind, I thought, that we would make that change. Community is as opposed to residents. And so for $30, we can do that. You guys are all okay? And the council's nodding their head, so we'll move forward and have that change. Thank you. Okay, before City Minister Razzle, I just wanted to say that this weekend was it was a neat weekend. Saturday morning, I attended the kickoff for the Relay for Life, and as many of you know, I've had several family members who have been either successfully battled or, in two cases, unsuccessfully battled cancer, and so it's been an impactful thing in my family. And so we had, I wish I would have gotten the official number, but there was a tremendous number of people who turned out for Relay for Life on Saturday, which was a 24-hour event, and it was pretty phenomenal. I had to leave on a couple occasions, but I returned many times. I just wanted to say hats off to two members of staff who gave their heart and soul to this, Stephanie and Sherry. And Rose was there as well. Diane, you also had some input. I will say that when they introduced Sherry, I've never seen her that excited and moved as much. I wish I had it on video. But it was a phenomenal turnout, and just a amazing way for a community to come together and wipe out this thing called cancer. My kids made me wear my Modern Warfare 3 shirt, and I asked them why, and they said, because it's time to wipe out cancer.
Yeah, there you go.
And I said, all right, we'll make that happen. So it was a great event, and I hope that we might. I'd like to ask Sherry or somebody to provide a report on that.
I'll ask Sherry.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to. That would be awesome. So, just the totals and the things like that were raised. So, one of the things that I was asked that we'll consider for next year is considering painting the town purple, which is the color that was worn by survivors this year. I think every year it's purple. And so next year, council consider how we can paint the town purple, either with purple ribbons or something like that, on behalf of and recognizing those who have battled and overcome. So, anyways, it was a phenomenal event. Really enjoyed being part of it. City Administrator Revel?
Yeah, just a couple quick comments. Thank you, Mayor. I did spot a couple of representatives of the Factors Group in Lowe's this afternoon supporting the economy in Monroe, so I was excited to go. And then the scholarships were mentioned. I just want to mention that my youngest daughter is graduating this year and got a scholarship to Everett Community College for basketball. So I'm excited for her. Draft agenda, June 12th, 2012. Any announcements and presentations? We have a proclamation, Amateur Radio Week, June 18th through the 24th. We have a general update on county issues by County Councilmember Dave Summers. Under the consent agenda, we have bid award, authorized mayor to sign construction contract for Woods Creek Road water main relocation. New business, we have resolution authorizing mayor to sign lease agreement with H3O Cable Park. Number two under new business, private use of city property. Under final action, we have resolution adopting six-year TIP 2013 through 2018. And I'll actually back up just real quick on number two, new business, private use of city property. If you get questions, it has to do with people encroaching into our right-of-way, specifically into the storm drainage facilities that we have in the Frylands area. So just so you have a little history on that. And under study session, we have department reports and the draft agenda for June 19th. Additions or deletions?
Councilmember Gamble?
I just have a question on the time it shows tentative on the resolution for H3O Cable Park. So we will have a lease agreement to review. Is that my... I have several. What was that? That's ahead of time?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, the TIP, what was the, when did we do the first reading on that?
You know, it's a resolution to adoption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Exciting news about your daughter, by the way. In the works here for some time, so that's a great problem. Okay, we do have a need for executive session this evening, and we'll turn to City Attorney Lell for explanation and for.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230-110-1C and 110-1I. The City Council will convene an executive session to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease and to discuss potential litigation and legal risk with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 30.
We can start there.
45 minutes, and the Council may take action in open session when you reconvene.
All right, with that said, we will go into executive session.
Yeah. Why not?
One other item first. Councilmember Camp.
I move that we extend the session as then.
Or approve the extension of the session pass?
Whatever. Approve the extension of the session pass, Tim.
Extend.
Motion's been made by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve the extension of the meeting past 10 o'clock. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so we do have one other action, and have City Attorney Lell read the motion and see if there's a maker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 2012-014, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, authorizing the sale of certain real property to Beta Kelsey Station, LLC, for its assigns, and the one revision of the Council is amenable to us to the document in front of you, is to add the following text after a comma to be inserted after the word city at the end of the second sentence of Section 1 to read, together with such minor revisions as the mayor deems appropriate, specifically including without limitation revision of the legal description of the subject property.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made by Councilmember Gehring and seconded by Councilmember Williams. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Seeing no lights, hearing no comments, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have no other action tonight, correct? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Councilmember Davis has made the, or Campbell has made the motion to adjourn and seconded by Councilmember Hanford. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Good night.